بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Deen has reached us with a lot of difficulty. Going to Taif, being stoned, bleeding, and yet making dua for them, performing namaz in the Haram Sharif, and all the filth is thrown onto the back, then being driven out of Medina of Makkah Mukarrama, then at times there are stones that are tied and fastened to the belly on account of extreme hunger. Then in every era, whoever with the flag bearers of Islam, at some point in their life they went to a lot of difficulty. For one hadith is traveling to about Damascus, 1,500 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara, just to get one hadith. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he says that ala shib'i batani, I just was in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and night and day I was there, just I have enough to carry on, that's all. Sometimes food is coming after one day, 2 days, 3 days, I would fall down unconscious, people would take me for being unconscious. There was nothing but hunger. On one such occasion he says, extreme hunger. I asked Umar radiallahu anhu about the explanation of one verse, and he gave it to me, and I didn't need to ask him, but it was extreme hunger that prompted me to ask him, perhaps he may see the hunger on my face and take me home. Eventually Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made out, smiled, and took him home. There was some milk, and he called Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, take this and feed it to the Ashab al-Suffa, the students of Deen, or the first Khanqa, call it the Madrasa, or call it the Khanqa. If you see how it was operating, that both some to do with Khanqa and some to do with the Madrasa. So if any person had a little bit more, then Dinarun Kayyum Minan Nar, one coin, then one brand of fire. So it was like a Khanqa on one side, and then on the other end was a Madrasa. So the milk is brought, and I'm starving. 3 days, 4 days, nothing to eat, falling down. Nabi Sam asked me to call the Ashab al-Sufra. Now I said, hey, I don't stand a chance now. One small ball, and Ashab al-Sufra maybe about numbering 70, 80 people, what will I get? But it was a command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I had to just execute. Call them, feed them first. Now, you'd have something. He says, at that time, my stomach was gone in like this, in. And I had no other choice but to execute the command of Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I fed them, then I drank. Drink more. I drank more, some more. And now my stomach was like this. And our stomach felt like this. So the difficulties that they had to go through in searching for ilm. Our elders, their observation is that the wrongs that have crept into deen is because of one of two reasons mainly. Maybe other reasons, but mainly two reasons. يُشْرِكُ أَيَّكُونَ شَمْعَانَ مُتَّكِئًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيْتِكَتِهِ. He is in the lapse of luxury and is acquiring ilm. In the lapse of luxury. And he says, now I haven't found this in the Quran, so I leave it out. So you see, when the person is in luxury, then he wants to serve his luxury than serve Deen. Then you talk about evolution, talk about Big Bang, etc. Why? Because he wants to serve his luxury. And when he wants to serve his luxury, then he's to listen to his masters. How is it going to happen? I need all the luxuries. Then I got some seniors. I have to listen to them. When I listen to them, then the luxuries will continue. And if I don't, then they'll pull away the luxuries. Then how am I going to continue? See? So the deen becomes a secondary thing, and servicing your addiction becomes the primary thing. You look at the Surah Jumu'ah. Right? It's important that you're reciting it on the Jumu'ah, this one. And equally important is to think about the contents. What is the content? So, first Allah speaks about the Ummi, the unlettered, illiterate, right? Ba'atha fil Ummiyin. So the whole appointment was to the illiterate. Ba'atha fil Ummiyin Rasulan. Now here, the illiterate Arab has been compared against the Jew. Qul ya ayyuhal ladhina hadu. Who is that? The Jew. Right? So the illiterate, unlettered has been favored against the literate, the learned, educated. Because they are called the Ahlul Kitab. Hadu. Right? So when Allah Ta'ala chooses someone, then there will be a reason why He has chosen someone. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Sometimes the appointment is not known to us. Divine selection, Allah Ta'ala knows why He selected Hud alayhi salam and why He has chosen Lut alayhi salam. That He knows. And otherwise the rule is wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. But the one that turns to Allah Ta'ala, obviously in humility, in submission, then Allah Ta'ala accepts him. You're coming to me cheerfully, you're coming to me in submission, you're coming to me in humility, then I accept you. Because that person is coming in humility, then he doesn't want to do his thing. He wants to do what Allah Pak wants. He doesn't want to do what's in his mind, but what Allah Pak wants. In every respect, that's what I need to see. So you see our elders, in order to emulate the sunnah, they did everything. Hazrat Muaz Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, embodiment of the sunnah. For them their constraints was nothing. So one of his relatives is studying in Sahanpur and he's craving for some home food. It happens, I know, in Myasam, and how we crave. So he said, the madrasa food now? No. So he's spoken to the khadim of Mohan Sahanpuri Sahib, arranged for some home food. So the khadim said, presently the home is going through some starvation. So the student, the relative, he said, is that so? He took out some money from his pocket, offered him, buy all the groceries. You don't even think of doing that. I'll get fired from here. Because others will ask, who divulged the secret of the house? And all fingers will be pointing towards me. But yet when he's coming out, you won't make out this man is going through some starvation. Clean clothes, attar, and he's combed his beard well. So nobody makes out. Now the same man, Al-Mu'an Sahanpuri Sahib, is in Hajj. But now see the commitment to the Sunnah. All round commitment to the Sunnah. What was the level? So now, on the 8th you are going to Mina, right? And the morning of the 9th you are proceeding towards Arafat. And you proceed towards Arafat after the sunrise. You go to Arafat. So, in those days you had that Mu'allim. They used to call them Mutawif, Mu'allim. And then you call the Jamal, who's controlling those camels. So, Mullah is comfortably engaged in zikr, whatever, and is engaged in zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat, etc. Perhaps past ishraq time, he is engaged. And this muallim now is making a big noise. And Mullah is not paying attention, continued. And as he ended all his ma'mulat, then he's talking to this muallim. Our arrangement was that we will be allowed to do every sunnah. That was the arrangement made before taking you on. So you're not keeping to your word. So his reply was that, you see, this jamals, these camel drivers, they don't listen to anybody. They just do their own thing. And now it's not a sensible thing to be so particular on the nafal and the mustahab and leave out the faras of wukuf at Arafat. See, he'll go away, then how are you going to go to Arafat? You'll miss out your wukuf. So Mu'ah got even more angry. He said, see, we took you on not to come and teach us deen, not as an ustaz or a sheikh. We took you on as a camel driver. So you just do your work. You don't come and teach us about deen. And in the meanwhile, if you are so worried about the muallim and all that, then you and him can move on. You'll come on foot. But we spend all this money, all the difficulties, just to be practicing the sunnah. And you want to rob us of practicing the sunnah. See that firmness. So the deen came to us with a lot of difficulty. Let's understand that. It didn't just come. So there's two reasons that people become casual about deen. Either abundance of affluence, and then people want everything to be relaxed. I don't say it's a complete law, but most of them, yushiku shab'an muttaqiyan ala arikatihi. From that you understand that that's where the whole collapse comes in. And sometimes the wrong sets in because of the wrong type of tutors. In the Hazal Ilma Deenukum, Ibn Sirin says, the deen, this ilm is your deen. Fanzuru, then you must watch, be careful. Don't take from anybody and everybody. That's why I say, in everything, you go up in stages. As Mustafa used to say, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعْلُمُ Bukhari Sharif. And he would explain it, that ilm comes gradually. بِالتَّعْلُمُ From person to person, it comes gradually. It doesn't just come overnight. There may be an odd situation where a person became a hafiz in 3 days, 5 days, but that's an isolated case. That's not the normal theme, right? So, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ To be there, be patient, and slowly, slowly you begin to grasp concepts, understanding how you apply it. All these things come gradually in stages. Now, you want it to happen straight away, and then you're taking from anybody and anybody. And the third wrong is now, because of the abundance of information, then you are reading here, this one here, that one there. And you're making up your mind. Now, in this path here, what's required, in fact, in education, what's required, the word that they use is Rabtul Qalb. What? Your heart needs to be aligned to your senior. And according to the strength of the alignment is the goodness that will flow after that. How much you are aligned. If you're not aligned properly, then your mind is wandering in all directions. When it's wandering in all directions, you may think that you are benefiting, but you aren't. Why? Because your heart is not aligned. He's saying something, and you're doing something. He wants something else, and you want something else. So here, the thing that is receiving is the mind, is the heart. We'll say mind, and the kitab will say the heart, right? For our convenience, say mind. So your heart is not aligned. So can that whole process go well? you're in a marriage and the wife is not aligned totally to you. Can it be a happy reunion? A father and a son, your mind is not aligned totally. He's saying something and you're doing something. It's not wrong what you're doing, but your heart is not aligned. So that's called Rabtul Qalbi Bishaykh. So as the alignment is good, accordingly the journey is expedited. You see things very clearly and very easily and very quickly you see it. But that is now subject to the alignment. Heart, how well the heart is aligned to your senior. So that is why you'll find as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understands things straight away. He gets a picture, he captures things straight away. Right? Rasulullah leaves the world, right? And as Umar is in a state of mind, he doesn't want to accept and acknowledge the passing away of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's in that frame of mind. Right? And then Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he's overwhelmed, he can't even speak. But Ali radiallahu anhu, his feet cannot carry him. You know, the grief and the pain is so much. So the man of the moment is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's been trained so well, his alignment was so well, that he knew in spite of the grief and the sorrow, the pain being so much so overwhelming, but the composure wasn't lost. This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the reason for the composure being so well is the alignment was good. So that is why the hadith says, Abu Bakr has excelled not because of his namaz, etc. But it was something that Allah put into his heart. So he excelled over everybody else. So that's why when Abu Bakr was weighed against Umar and he acceded. So he was so far ahead. So he knew exactly at that time what is to be done. He's showing them, all right, this is to be done. How the ghusl, how the kafan, how the dafan will take place. So all that guidance is from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he had the structure of deen. And you may say it, he had the spirit of deen. Because his alignment was too beautiful, too great. So therefore, Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu inquires, who's the best? Hazrat Siddiq, Hazrat Aisha. No, from amongst the men, Hazrat Siddiq, Abu Bakr, is the best. And if anybody is turning away from Abu Bakr, then the Muslim is cautioning him. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar are discussing a certain matter. Sometimes, you know, when you're discussing, then some words may just come out. You don't intend them, but now it's the heat of an argument or heat of a discussion and you say something. So those words are not supposed to be taken seriously. Right? It's a discussion now, and in the discussion, in the heat of the argument, you say something. Mad, donkey can't understand. Right? So Abu Bakr must have said something and Umar Diyan took it seriously. Now, he went home straight and locked his door. And is not opening the door. Abu realized it was my mistake. I shouldn't have said that word, used that word. So Abu Bakr is going straight to the house to ask him for maaf. From the Bukhari Shaykh's whole thing. But when you look at it, that is on account of Abu Bakr's consciousness of death. That if I die in the process, and I haven't got the maaf now, so mera hashar kya hoga? What will be my... What will be my position? I did this thing here, and I haven't got a maaf, so what will be of me then? See? So now Umar is still upset, so he didn't open the door. So he said, the next point of call is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He goes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now that's, وَلَوْ أَنَّمْ إِذْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. They are remorseful, and the Nabi prays for their forgiveness, right? So that was the second point. But see how accurate this man is. How accurate, spontaneous, straight away. Can you find a person like that? Straight, spontaneous. He asked to maaf, Umar is not yet over the grief and the pain. And then straight he's going to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inna sahibakum ad ghamara. He's got into a problem. Nabi Sallam makes out. And it wasn't long after that that Umar came in. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is upset with Umar. And Abu Bakr is interceding, Ya Rasulullah, I was the guilty party. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not paying attention. He's reprimanding Umar. Hal antum tariku li sahibi? Won't you spare my friend? My friend, won't you spare? When I gave the dawah of Iman, all you people were not in line. This man just accepted me straight away. Won't you just spare this friend of mine? But you see now, that alignment, that was the thing that brought Abu Bakr. So one is to do your own thing, feel pleased about it. And one is now what the senior wants, what he wants. You do your own thing, you will not say that you won't get sawab, but you won't get that type of an alignment and that type of spiritual effulgence and the beauty. You won't get that. You won't get that understanding. So for the understanding, you have to be right on that line, straight on that line. What does he want? Well, Thay Sahib explains this, alhamdulillah. In the past, people used to get a lot of hammering, a lot of shouting, small misdemeanor, get out. Right? Small misdemeanor and get out. Move out. I don't want to see you. So that hammering, they came right. But now they want, mashallah, such a good boy you are. Wonderful. We'll give you some toffees and chocolates because you read from the mass. I know I was about 5 years of age. So I read Durood Sharif or Kalima about 100 times. So I told my mother, you know, I read Kalima 100 times. So she took out 5 cents and gave me. So with a child that is 5 years, you patawa him, you compliment him. But now you're not 5 years. So you need to get straight now. That child needed that compliment. He needed that pat on the back to go on. But now everybody wants that pat on the back. Look what I'm doing. So you need that hammering. You need that hammering and then you move on. Then that nafs subdues itself. Otherwise the nafs doesn't relent, doesn't go. أَمَّا مَنْ خَفَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسِ. See, this whole thing is about stopping the nafs in its track. And that's the hardest nut to crack. The nafs is not an easy nut to crack. It's very difficult. But then you want to progress, and you progress and you move, get the proximity to Allah Ta'ala, is not lying on the street. You know? For a friend, or for a business contact, or for a government official, or a person in the marriage now, and he's mad at the girl, you think he'll get her so easily? What he has to do, make tawis, get on diamond ring, do this, move the Ferrari sometimes, pass her sometimes. A lot of things you have to do to get it working, right? How much he does? How much he does just for that? Right? And after some time, then that muhabbat is then confirmed. Otherwise, go. Don't need you. Now here you're trying for the ultimate. And the ultimate also you want to do your own thing. Not what the elder ones, you want to do your own thing. Then how is it going to work? So we're coming to this point now, this how they preserved in the difficulty that they went through and the hardships that they had gone through, but they stood their grounds. They didn't back off. They didn't give up. وَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. They didn't give up. They didn't relent. They didn't back off. We made our minds, we're going to go this. تَرَى الدَّرْبِ عَيَاهُمْ. I've come to your door. Ya to joli bhar ke jaunga ya mar ke jaunga. Either I'll fill my container or I'll die in the process. But I'm not going to leave this. So that must be the mindset. That must be the mindset. Then you progress. Otherwise, you think, you know, you imagine that I'm doing it. So you have to have that vacuum all the time. And For a long period, the sheikh won't even compliment you. You're doing so much, you're doing this, he's not complimenting you. He's still on your case. You're still wrong. It's not right. Small mistakes, the big mistakes, he's correcting you. And you don't want that correction. Al-Mawla Tamim Sahib Rahman says, we should all go to Al-Mawla Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi. Right? All the senior Buzugs at that time used to go to him. And he says, when I went there, he says, is this the time to come? Didn't the earth swallow you? Where am I going to feed you from now? Alright, this is a long story. Just cutting the story. Well, he says after that, now you know you want something, then go through the river of difficulty. Well, you can't listen to one word. Right? After that, I showed him a lot of respect after that. But in that first encounter, he shouted him. See that? So they want you to move, and the way to move is then to break yourself, to bust yourself. من تواضع لله رفعه الله. You have to just break yourself. Nafs has to be broken down. And this is about the last thing that leaves the heart. That recognition, that excellence, recognition, are people showing me the respect or not? That's the last thing that leaves. It doesn't leave you. They break, keep breaking you. As the Shaykh Ulina Rahmatai is coming on foot about 30 kilometers right to Gango, right? Didn't you see all the Urus celebrations? Then why didn't you take a U-turn? Go back. So the one that is accompanying him, he's explaining Hazrat Mawla Gangohi Rahmatullahi, but he didn't know about this. And he had no intentions. I'm not such a simpleton. I'm not so gullible that I didn't understand this. But the moment he saw this, why didn't he take a U-turn and go back? Why didn't he do that? Whereas on another occasion, then he shows the appreciation. But now once the first man was caught it, came on foot 30 kilometers and go back. See that? And who's he? Sheikh ul-Hind. Sheikh ul-Kul, right? And he's catching it here. Now that friend of his from Gangu said, at least have something and then go. He says, when the Sheikh has rejected me, what face do I have to eat at your house? Now, a Nawab is coming to Gungo. At that time, now, Mawlana had lost his sight. So he's feeding the carpet that's below him. See, I'm showing you the story by assuming what this is all about. By Deen comes with difficulty, with pain. It's not a breeze in the park. Don't think it's a breeze in the park. That's what we think. See, those that have made a breeze in the park, they are distorting Deen. They're giving their own version, what I feel about. Either that, or otherwise, either they're in the luxury zone, or their tutors are wrong. Now, they talk of evolution. Those that spoke about evolution, every one of them, go and see now where are they getting their tutoring from. Every one of them. Nearly every one of them, the teacher, the senior, is a Christian priest or something. So that's where they got the tutoring from. So their minds must be distorted. And those tutors are being supported by the governments. So what business have they got but to smash down Islam? What else? You'll be the tutor and you'll be in the Islamic Zaytuna College. You'll be the tutor. Look at the history, see. A proposal comes, you just accept it. Fanzuru, you want to check out. I need to see properly. For that moment, for the time being, is it a buzruk or really is it a buzruk? He came up in the best colors. Like a buzruk, like a saintly person. But then I need to see his true colors before I make the confirmation. I can't just take him on face value. But this is, you are bargaining for your deen and you just take him on by that. There's mistakes also I made because of the same thing. Either it was some commercial gain were either the wrong tutors. One person, for about 40 years, he would never shave his hair before the Jummah namaz. So they asked him, where did you get this from? So he says, Naha an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil halqi yawm al-Jumu'ah. The Nabi had prevented shaving on the day of Jumu'ah. Whereas it was supposed to be anil hilaqi. Hilaq is a pool of halqa, you know, halqa, circle. So it's supposed to be the pool of halqa, hilaq. Right. To make groups now on the day of Jumu'ah. Now Jumu'ah namaz is taking place here, right? And the khutbah is going to go, and you making your own circle here. So is it going to obstruct the khutbah or not? Is it going to obstruct the serfs or not? The serfs will be obstructed, and the khutbah is also going to be obstructed. No, it's not on. Don't do this. He didn't go through a proper tutoring. He went and self-studied. When he went and self-studied, so he misconstrued the entire hadith. See that? من أخطأ من قال في القرآن برأيه فقد أخطأ. And other place, فَلِتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. You're seeing with your own right. Deen matters, you're talking from your own mind. You better then get your place in Jahannam. In deeni matters, you are adding your own two cents. You know, do it like this, do it like this. So one is now, you're getting some authentic source. The person is authentic, is reliable, right? Or you double check, and then you carry on. But you haven't verified the information, what comes to your mind, what you would like it to be, you are doing it. What? Not what Allah Pak would like it to be, but what you would like it to be. So they're getting all beaten up. The advanced, these people are very advanced. But according to the advancement, they are being beaten up. We have Sha'abul Ma'ali, right? And the type of difficulty that, now Sha'abul Ma'ali is not very long ago. He is now the ancestry of Al-Mu'an Sa'arun Puri Sabram Tali. He should be about, say, 2 centuries away from now, 2.5 centuries. So, he is Muridis Shabig. Now, Shabig made a small misdemeanor. Get out, run away, I don't want to see you. Now, you go look at the mistake, you can't even talk about it as a mistake. But get out, I don't want to see you. And here, his man is desperate to be with the Shaykh. But the Shaykh wants him to escalate. Right? He wants to escalate, then he needs some banner beating. Right? He's straightening up. Now you got a Ferrari, and the thing is all dented. Will you get your prize? You need the thing to be panel beaten, properly corrected. Then you get your prize. So he wants them to be corrected for them to gain that proximity. Now, for that you need some panel beating. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah also, he's sitting with Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah and eating, right? And Hazrat Zamin Sahib, he's Mawad Gangohi Rahmatullah, Hazrat Hadi Sahib speed by. And he says to Hazrat Mawad Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah that, you know, you got all the good pieces this side, the chops, I'm saying my own words, chops and the kebabs on this side. And yeah, he's good to some dar and that, masood. Could have shared it with him a little bit. So Hadi Sahib pulled his face and says, he is fortunate to be sitting with me and eating. Otherwise, he required that I give him some piece of bread and curry over it, and as a beggar, he can sort himself out. In the meanwhile, he's watching me. What's my response? So he says, Alhamdulillah, at that moment, I felt really what Hadi Sahib is saying is right. I'm really fortunate to be sitting and eating with him. Or you they're getting panel beated. Mentally, sometimes, somehow, they're getting panel beat. So now, we don't want that. We want it just to happen. Let this happen. No shouting, nothing. In our Diobandi, he still said, one of the softest persons was Al-Mu'an Qasim Nawaz, very soft. But he would say himself, until and unless the father is not very strict, the child doesn't come out. Right? The sheikh is not strict and firm, the murid doesn't come right. So he needs to be firm and strict for the murid to go. After all, Mujahid, Ikrimah used to be fastened by Ibn Abbas for them to excel in the fields of hadith and Quran Sharif. Why would he change them? Then they became imams after that. But why did he change them? So a little bit of that firmness is required. Firmness is required. That alignment, that thinking, that thought alignment. More than just applying it, is your thinking. How is your thinking going? Is it on the same line, or you've switched on to a different wavelength? Where is your thinking going? So then, this same wavelength is moving on. Well, look at their lives. Each one of them, look at their lives and the difficulties that they have gone through. Right? In the preservation of deen, in the propagation of deen, in the securing of deen, but what they went through. Admiral Gangwar Ramtai is getting his allowance monthly, right? Sometimes the allowance is coming with a delay. So, for that days, he don't want to take a loan. So he goes to the greens, where the greens are sold, right? Vegetables and all that. So whatever leaves are found there, he picks that up, just washes it, boils it up, some salt, and that's a meal for 5 days, 10 days. That's the meal. Can you live? But you see what difficulties he went through. He's going to discuss a masala with Sheikh Muhammad Sahib, who? Muhammad Gangwar Ramtai. He's was the greatest alim at that time, for the whole area. And he's going to discuss one masala about what? About Isa alayhi salam, that he will pass away and he will be buried besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Sahib is Hazrat Hadi Sahib's peer bhai. When he says peer bhai, so Sheikh Muhammad Sahib says, if you don't believe in this, then you're out of Islam. Well, Gangwar Ramtai now, he studied the science properly, carefully. He said, this is supported by Khabar al-Wahid. So a person makes inkar of Khabar al-Wahid, you don't declaim as a kafir. It's wrong what he's doing. But just because of that, you won't declaim as a kafir. Right? Now, while Gangwar Ramtai is going up to Sheikh Muhammad to go and correct him, and Al-Hadi Sahib gets to know that this is the reason for this. Hargis nahi, yamare bade. No, he's our elder. But see the alignment. My elder said this, then I must do it. But today's alim says, well, I am standing for the truth, so what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, he shrugged his shoulders, and what's wrong? If he's not shrugging his shoulders, then his mind is telling him, what's wrong if I do this? The sheikh is not as a Nabi. I need to see what the Nabi says. Put it right. Now, could you find an alim as great as him? Can't find. But he understood what's the maqam of the sheikh. He knows what's the reason for the alignment to be right. For the alignment right. And in a matter of 40 days, the Hadi Sahib says, whatever blessings I had, I passed on to you. Now it's your work now to take it up. See that? So the same line is coming from above. What's the alignment? What's the thought process? How's the behavior? What's the understanding? We're talking about the Shah Abul Mu'ali Sahib and Shah Beg, right? Now, he didn't just get up like that. So they put them through the paces. They go through the difficulty and then the door opens up. Difficulty and then the door opens up. You know, one wealthy, influential person is living on the 30th floor. Right? That's how his palace has been designed. So, one Buzurg is passing by, and the king is calling him. So the Buzurg is saying, hey, it's such a long journey I got to climb up. I can't manage this thing here. So he sent down whatever they had at that time, pulleys or whatever, and in minutes he was on top. Right? Whatever they had, now they were lifts and elevators and all that, escalators, so that time whatever. So now the king is asking, what is the way to reach Allah Ta'ala? So he says, see, it's a matter of a second. Allah Ta'ala wants, like in seconds I reach you, you can reach Allah Ta'ala. But you need to see the other side of the story. He had to walk 10 kilometers to the palace. So he had to make that effort, and then he was elevated. So we're just saying that, just say, cutting the story, and the only you're talking about the escalation. You talk about the difficulties that he had incurred walking up here. So you will try as well. So that's called suluk. That's called suluk. You will try. And then when Allah Pak wants, then he will elevate you. But you have to do that much, to go through that much, then Allah Pak wants, Allah Pak will elevate you. So now this shabig is thrown out. So I say, this thing and this nafs is not broken. And mind you, in this day, many people have got khilafat, right? But the nafs is not broken down. Really, I'm telling you. Because you know what's going on. You know what's going on. And it doesn't remain concealed. But the nafs is not broken down. When the nafs is not broken down, they're not escalating or going up. We think that we are going up. So that khilafat is not an endorsement that you have got nisbat. No. It's an expectation, what? The best word you can use is an expectation. Inshallah, this person, if he works, then one day he can reach up. And now what we are taking it as now, is endorsed. I got the khilafat, I got the ijazah, now I'm on my way. It's an endorsement, and it's endorsing that we expect this to happen. And the Shaykh used to give a lot of khilafat. I would say that they don't have the nisbat. But when they'll hear of my death, so it's called jharka milega. He gets shaken up. And in the shaken up, when he gets shaken up, then he'll come up. So you need to get shaken up properly. These people that are specializing, right? They'll tell you in the hospital when they're specializing. Sometimes they are working 28 hours, 29 hours. One shot they're working. I know you hear the stories, right? They're working like that. And for 1 year, 2 years, they'll keep them. Eventually, when they've trained them well, then they'll give them the certificate. Not before that. So, you want to reach up there, and you want to reach up there without any difficulty. It doesn't happen. So anyway, in the meanwhile now, all this thing is happening. The rainy season, India, you have this monsoon, right? The roof is leaking. So, you know, women are a little bit free with their husbands. You won't say that they are disrespectful. They are free. They say something. So the wife is shouting him. We had this one, Shabi. Any odds and ends, he was doing it. And you like a wise thing, you threw him out. Now who's going to pitch on the roof? See? So sometimes the wife will have that type of ways. It's not a constant thing. Now, on the lighter side, so one woman is writing up, you know, my husband, and I call him a little idiot, and he likes it. Is it right for me to say that word? You little idiot. I told that auntie, by the hadith wants you to respect the husband. If I were to command any person to make sajda to any person, that I have commanded the wife to make sajda to the husband. What is she showing? Respect. Now and then she says something blurted out, all right, you overlook it. But you don't make it a standard. And even if the husband is okay with it, you don't make it a standard. I know the ladies that told me to speak. Whatever the husband is, you just take him as your boss. You don't speak out of turn. Because you know when his mind will just turn. He's always joking with you and all that. But when he'll turn, and how he'll turn, Allah Pak knows. So you don't take him for granted. See, this old woman, and what advice they give. Two people, they say, you don't take a chance. Two situations. One is, they say in Hindi, Badshah ke agari, And the second is Gora ke Pachari. What? The king, his mind can just change. In a moment, he can just change. So you don't take it for granted. He's got powers. He's got the strength, he's got the power, everything. And you take advantage. He just rule something against you, and you'll regret the day you were born. And the second is the re of the horse. And you try to do something, and then give one kick, is enough to kill you. So that woman mustn't take these things for granted. He's joking, he's such a good person, all that. There's a moment where he'll joke all that, but you keep that theme of respect all the time. Then it goes right. See, like the hadith says, خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا. Best. What is the best thing? A pious wife. What is a pious wife? When the husband looks at her, then she pleases him. When he commands her, then she carries it out. And when he's away, then she takes care of all his things, all his affairs, his wife. She takes good care of it. So now that is the thing that is to be built into the girl that is coming up. Now our whole operation is one off. Now my child, nobody must shout her, nobody must tell anything to her. And she must be treated as a queen. And if anybody does anything to her, then she must just phone straight away and come and pick them up. So it's all Westernism. Modernism, Westernism, secularism. That's totally against our culture, Islamic culture. Not that now the husband must be shouting all the time. No. There is other hadith also that the best man is the one that is best to the wife. But on the side of the wife, she must respect, etc. So there's both sides. Now you just look at one thing and be selective, that's also not right. So anyway, the wife is telling the husband, see, you are the one shabi, and you like a wise thing, now you threw him out. Now who's going to fix up all these things here? Right. Why I'm telling you this deliberately, so that you understand how to run a house. You mustn't think, now I'm at the house, now I'm the boss, and just listen to me. So the relationship will be different. And if you understand the relationship, and respect the relationship. Women are weak, are deficient, so they will say something, they will do something. So you need to understand how to work under the circumstance. Now you don't know these things here, then you say, no, but you know, the woman is supposed to be respecting me and all that, and why isn't she respecting me? Well, this last week some question came, but we are told not to raise our voices, right, before the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Aisha and sometimes Azwaj al-Mutahharat would raise their voices. So what about them? So I'd explain that the relationship is a husband and a wife. And the husband and a wife relationship requires some level of informality. Right? And the reason for the informality is that they will be with the husband all the time. Night, day, in the times of sickness, health, all the time. So if they're going to be like a statue, ya Abbas, let's do, will that be a healthy reunion? But if it is that she's a little bit relaxed, she can say what she wants, right, then that's a relaxed environment, and they know how to conduct themselves. Right? So Rasulullah wanted that type of an environment in the house, that they are relaxed, they can say what they want, and that goes to the betterment of the entire ambience of the house. Otherwise now she's under pressure all the time. Right crockery wasn't used. I know homes, right? So why didn't you use that crockery? When you present my tea, you know, see the tea cup has got a rose. And the rose on the cup must be in line with the rose on the saucer. Why do you do it like that? She said, they don't understand how to run the house. That is to complain. She says, they want to get married and they want to have children, but they don't know what marriage is all about, and they don't know what is the responsibilities towards the children. They don't know about this thing. But they want just for the excitement. So a lot of things is done today just for the excitement, thrill, not understanding the responsibility that's attached to it. And the reason for that is the parents also at fault, because they outsourced them to schools everywhere, and they didn't train the children. This is how you speak, what you would do in this situation, how you conduct yourself in this situation. No, they want my children, myself, the best comfort, best luxury, best education. Everything, anything happens after that, they're not concerned. But how to shape this child here, they didn't learn that. So then you have a problem, then you have a breakdown. And then you get women are saying, you know, I don't want to be out of the marriage, but I know he's a nonsense, right? But I don't want to be out of the marriage. But sometimes it is the fault of the parents. They didn't shape the girl. And sometimes it is the fault of the husband, that he doesn't know how to run the house. Both mistakes. But you see, this training was so important. Like, you know, I say to my friends, 55 years ago, 60 years ago, I never heard of a divorce. I didn't hear. It was like a foreign thing. You didn't hear of a marital breakdown, home, or wife bashing and beating up. We didn't hear of these things. But now these things became so common now, that now it's no more exciting. Before it was exciting, hey, what happened now? And now it's become so common, because they went onto the wrong lane. See this circular education. So that type of brains they got. And how you start off a relationship with the girl, how you date and how you meet, all that. So that's how they started the child, and how you elope. So this is now the education, and that's given this eloping, dating, all that. That's given the name of education, Othello and all that. Right? Those are the stories. Same thing: meeting, dating, eloping, all that. Right? Don't worry about the color, because that Othello was dark, very dark, extra dark, you know. And his wife was extra white. So now they're showing now that don't allow anything to become a barrier between our relationship. See? So all the wrong brains are doing. That's the school. Right? But then these mysteries unravel after about 20, 30 years. So they put them into that education, right? Then it took time for all these things to unravel. It doesn't just unravel straight away. Takes time. So anyway, we're talking about this Shabi. So the husband is the sheikh now. So it's not going to be right for the sheikh to call Shabi himself. Because the idea was to discipline the person. If he calls him himself, when he needed me now he's coming to call me. See? Now, will he get the right disciplining? You won't get the right disciplining. So the sheikh tells, see, I chased him out, you didn't chase him out, so why don't you call him? So anyway, the sheikh came after his hotel, his lunch. As he came for his lunch now, so he's hearing some kut-kut on the roof. What happened? So he went and fetched some clay, some branches of trees and all that, and he's fixing the roof. So the sheikh was too delighted. See, sometimes it's a moment of acceptance. But the moment of acceptance comes after a little bit of difficulty. It doesn't come straight. He's gone out, he's crying, pleading. So that was required. See, that was go to your knees, go and cry to Allah Ta'ala, show your humility, show you nothing, right? So that was required. For that nisbat to be connected to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, it's just in name. But have you got the nisbat? If you had the nisbat, you would have been a different person altogether. And now that colors show in a person after a time. You don't see the color straight away. Unless the person is very focused, when he's very focused, then you see the color straight away in the person. But if this was the person, and this is the color that we see in him now. That is the person who is very focused, very much aligned. That's a different person. But otherwise, they just give them khilafat and they expect that this person will come up in time. That's what they feel. So anyway, Shaykh hears all these things here and he says, come Shabig. And now he is not even worried about climbing down the stairs because he's so overwhelmed and so ecstatic about the Sheikh's attention that he jumped from the roof, jumped down. Sheikh gave him a hug and tied one muscle in his hand, put it. And straight away that Nisbat just passed on. See that? But the Sheikh would have given this without the difficulty. But the tariqah of Allah, the sunnah of Allah is that you go through the difficulty and then we bless you. Not before the difficulty. You go through the difficulty and then we bestow it. But now you want these things to happen without that difficulty, then it doesn't happen. You'll get something, but you remain naqis for the rest of your life. You remain deficient for the rest of your life. You're not progressing. I'm saying this because people must understand this thing, how this thing works. Not to run down anybody and not to smash down anybody, but understand how this thing works. Then you get this thing. And the main thing I say, actually, in this age, is that Rabtul Qalb is Shaykh. Your heart must be aligned. Not why he did this and why not. This is in the words of Mawlana Rai Puri Rahmatullahi. He says, Suhbat al-Shaykh iksir, that's the word approximately. That association is very effective. Iksir means very effective. Basharte ke kharkhashara ho. Provided there is no obstruction. So what's the meaning of kharkhasha? The meaning of kharkhasha is, why did he say this? Why did he do this? You shouldn't have said this. You should have done this. Why? So there's an obstruction. See, that it's a very refined process. And the refined process requires the refinement of your mind and your heart. As Umar Adiyah, once the thought went past his mind on Hudaybiyah, okay, why is this happening? Why? Lima nu'ti ad-daniyata fi dinna. Why should we give in? When we are Jannatis, we are in Islam, why should we give in? Right. After that whole thing was over, he says, whenever I think about this, I shiver with fear. I have given so much of sadaqah, so much of istighfar I've done. But just for one moment, when the thought passed his mind, and he says, I have to redeem this, I have to recompense for this, for such a long period. Right? And now we think to ourselves, is that the way? On this party, is that the way? Or that party is just humility, listen, lower yourself, humble yourself, right? And humble yourself, really, really humble yourself. Now we think of humbling ourselves for the Sheikh's shoes, put it straight. Another person will come, another person will straighten even more, third person will straighten even more. That's what, although in Urdu they say, Jab tak ke kisi ke juti seedhi nahi ki. That's it's a expression, right? But the expression, you're taking it literally. The expression is an expression. English also got a lot of expressions. So the expression, you don't take it literally. Understand what message is conveying. You're taking it literally, but it's going straight in the shoes. So 10 people will come, and 10 people will straight in the shoes. Like now, you get now people coming from Hajj or Umrah, and every person will bring one tasbih. Is that the thing? Someone's father died, so he'll give a stack of Yasin Sharif. 500. Another person's father died, bring another 1,000. See what's the need of the time. What's the need of the time? And you do according to the need. So, no, I must give Yasin or the Sahab al-Qabda. But is that the need? So you find all hadith, where a person says, my mother passed this, or something to do with water. Because that was the need of the time. The reason could say, alright, just do the Yasin and everything is worked out. But you see, the understanding is not right. So get that alignment right. This is the whole theme today is with this case of Allah, get the alignment right. Allah Bakhtu Fi.